This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the JMS Boxing Podcast with me, John.
I'm Sam.
And today I've got probably someone I've wanted to get on for a long time, like I put on the post up. One of the reasons why I'm able to do this podcast in to help with the connections and everything like that. The reason that I basically got on the straight and narrow back into boxing, but I'll come to that later. Luke Toomanner, thank you for joining us.
Hello, guys. Nice to meet you again.
It's going to be, it's not necessarily boxing, but we have a bit of a boxing story. But I know that you've got stories, and basically, normally I ask how people get into boxing, but I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to ask how you started in combat.
Okay. Well, surprisingly, I started in boxing.
Okay.
As a young amateur. If I go back to the beginning, obviously, born in the 70s, so I'm 53 now. And obviously, as a young Indian lad, when you're at school, you tend to find you leave a fall in with. I went to a school which was predominantly very sort of like cliquey. All the Asian kids would hang together, the white kids would hang together. And then what happened was, if you sort of like went out of your group, you got a little bit of, hold up, why are you hanging around with those lads? So, from my point of view, I was a great kid at school. I was very sensible at school for the first 3 years, sat at the front of the class, did really well. Then just something said to me, what happens if you sit at the back of the class? Right? And if you've been around, and like most lads, sat at the back of the class and involved in shit from day one. And then getting involved in, I sort of like got into scuffles at school. And then somewhere along the line, someone said to me, have you ever thought about doing any boxing? And I was like, no. A couple of lads said to me, there's a boxing club in Erith, which was Erith ABC at the time.
Yeah.
And I went along. And my very first night, I still remember it today like it was yesterday, right? And I often think about it. And when you go to a boxing club, you see the young lads sparring and you see the boxing ring. And I was probably 13, 14 at the time. And I think, oh, that looks good. And they're in the lad, and the lads are in the ring having a bit of a spar. And I think, oh, I want to do that. And I kept asking questions like, when can we spar? When can we spar? Right? In my brain, it was going to be a very simple thing. And you hadn't really thought about the other side. The other person is going to be hitting you as well. So from my point of view, I'm just going to be hitting someone. Right? So the coach said, right, go out running and go out for a run, do shadow boxing, and they're giving you a little few pointers, nothing major. It's probably about 15 or 20 of us in the room, all different ages. And then near the end of the session, I said, well, can we spar yet? Can I get in the ring and spar? And he said, yeah, go put a pair of gloves on. And he put me in with a young lad, young traveller lad, right, and who I became very good friends with. And I remember very clearly what happened. Unbeknown to me, this lad was probably a year below me. Didn't know anything about him. I've seen him at school. That's all I know about him. And what the coach had said to him is, right, said, let this young lad come at you full tilt because he's been eager to get in the ring all night. Right?
Shocker.
So he said, when I say now, just right crossing. He said, that's all you got, just won it. Right? And I didn't know any of this. So I've gone in the ring, And basically what you think you're going to start out doing is, yeah, jab, cross, soon stones, and you just start winning the
event,
right? Started going in within 30 seconds. I'm literally this young lad. He's literally covered himself up and he's gone into the corner. And I think I've got him. And I'm swinging punches like mad. And next, I've just heard somebody shout something. And then the next minute, I'm going, why are the lights up in the sky? And I couldn't figure it out. It literally put a right cross on me and put me straight on my backside. And it's like most things. When you start off in boxing or anything, you remember things. And the coach said to me, make sure I was all right. And he said, right, first thing I'm going to say to you is this. You never, ever underestimate anyone. You never, ever look at their size. You never, ever look at what they're doing and go, got him.
Yeah.
Ever. And he said, you always give him respect. All right. And he said, right, how are you feeling? Yeah, I feel great now. Now I know where I am. And that was my journey. And I started. And then it was a case of it became something I enjoyed. And it kept me out of trouble at school. I enjoyed it a lot. My parents weren't really happy about it. Obviously, being an Indian kid, it was a case of it's not the dumb thing. At that time, it was a case of concentrating on your studies, do well at school, go to university, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, okay. And it was just a case of just enjoying boxing. So I started the boxing, and I probably had anything between 11 and 13 fights.
Amateur.
Amateur, just as a kid.
Well, like local gym shows.
Local gyms. Used to go into, I remember going into Welling in like working men's clubs. That's where they used to have them, you know. So you can imagine you're all there as young kids having boxing. And they're all smoking.
No, I was going to say, it's going to be like the old school.
It was, yeah. And it was
you walk into a bundle of smoke.
Yes, yeah. Very much a case of a bundle of smoke. And you get these little trophies, which I've still got a few of them indoors. And, yeah, I enjoyed it. And it was, for me, it was something I loved doing. Running to the club because, again, what somebody else, certain things you won't know is, that when I was at school, when I went, say, the cross country, I couldn't run. Went to the doctors, and the doctor says, yep, you've got asthma.
Right, okay.
Okay? And he said, I'll give you 2 bits of advice. First bit of advice is, don't smoke. No matter what, don't smoke. Second bit of advice, never forget the first bit of advice.
And you don't smoke. You're not a smoker. Don't smoke.
And so I sort of like cross country wasn't my thing, and hence when the boxing thing came up, it naturally my fitness got better. I started to run a bit more, and it took time, but it was a case of my fitness got stronger and stronger. I remember even at 13 years of age running 2 or 3 miles to the boxing club, doing a session.
Did you do any like ABAs or any schoolboys or anything?
No,
like?
Didn't do any. It was not something at that time for me. The young lad that put me for the ropes, it turned out he'd boxed in the ABAs.
Right, makes sense.
Right, and he was very good. And he, again, it was one of those ones I hung around with those lads because the sparring was always intense. And it was a case of you knew, you know, I've listened to you guys and I always remember it. I always used to remember that initial feeling, right, we're going to go at each other for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. And afterwards, we're going to go, how's a cracking spar?
Yeah.
You've just smashed me square in the face and I've just done the same to you, but thank you. You're thanking each other for smacking the crap out of each other. And it always
is strange.
It's the strangest thing, and people just don't get it. You know, and if they've not involved in that world, they won't really understand.
It is mad that you literally can punch the shit out and you just go, drink.
Yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, your best mates.
Yeah,
you know,
or if you've dropped someone with like body shots and stuff.
Yeah,
oh, me, I'm on about me. I'll come to you later. Don't worry.
So yeah, so that was me with my boxing. I did that, as I said, I did that for about 2.5-3 years. Obviously, those times you used to have off seasons and there's no boxing now, so you'd have to keep yourself fit.
It's normally around September time.
Yeah, that's it. And it was a case of then. And in between, as you're growing up, girls come onto the scene and slowly, surely, boxing doesn't become a priority anymore. You sort of like go in different directions.
Yeah.
And that was up until, I think I was about 16 / 17 when I stopped. Started working. I left home at 16 as well. So I was in that area for about a year or so. Then I moved to Maidstone.
Right, okay. Did you have any ambitions with boxing?
Not really. It was just something that I enjoyed doing. And at the time, it wasn't something... I didn't really have what I would call the encouragement from my parents. So my parents never watched me box. And then it was just a case of, I'm just one of the kids that went along. And sometimes you'd sort of like get ready for a fight and you turn up and you wouldn't necessarily know till you got to the actual event if there was somebody at your weight that you'd be boxing.
Yeah, which is we've heard with other people with the amateur side of it as well.
You know, so, and they'd try and match up. And the coaches, in all fairness, were really good. They'd try and match up the kids according to their abilities. And they'd look at them and go, yeah, actually, you know, you've had a couple of fights, you've won one, you've lost one. He's a little bit taller than you, similar sort of weight. And so the coaches would be very sensible in the sense that they'd look out for you. They wouldn't put you in with somebody who's 2 stone heavier.
You want the 50-50s.
It was a year of kids.
And that's what the show was built on as well, the 50-50 stuff as
well. You know, so the kids, you know, as kids, you know, you're being matched up with people that are either your own ability or a little bit better than you, just to be tested. And, you know, and you're not necessarily looking to go, unless you start knocking people out left, right and centre.
Yeah.
You know, then they'd probably, I imagine, take you to one side and go, look, you need to really concentrate on this because you've got a natural gift. Don't get me wrong, I never had that natural gift. I could hit people and I could box. The only thing as a kid I had that was stayed with me for my whole life, I had a very good jab.
Right.
Right. And I can
converge for that.
Right. So I could jab harder than some people could throw a right cross. Mm. And so that was something that, for me, stayed with me. And it was a case of somebody used to say to me, what have you done? I said, I don't know. It's just one of those things. And as I've got older, it's something I'll always work off, always. Yeah. And, you know, I just remember certain things that the coaches used to say to you. And when the smoking thing came up with me, asthma and everything else, got talking to the coach, and he said, and I think at the time, they'd just done the first heart transplant. It was either a heart transplant or a lung. There was a major piece of surgery that had happened in the early to late 80s.
I wasn't even a sperm in a bollock then.
Yeah.
Like steel horse and car.
And then, and the coach said to me, he said, regardless of what's going on in the world, they said, just remember what you're born with. If you're lucky and you've got all your faculties, right, and you're healthy, he said, you're born perfect. If you look after yourself, you're fine. He said, nature and technology will never, ever replace what you're born with. And they said, and he used to say to us, so you little fuckers out smoking out there, he said, I know you're smoking before you get in the gym because I can smell it. Right? And he'd look at some of the lads in the room and he'd go, you lot, right? And there'd be like 4 or 5 lads going, oh, shit.
Then bubbled it.
Yeah, right. And he was very strict in that sense. And he'd say, look after yourselves. You know, and there were certain things, obviously, people like that, they come into your life and they give you these little bits of advice and they just stick with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, they stick with you and you go, oh, I haven't forgotten that. So, yeah, I remember my first night of boxing and I remember the little things in between.
That went up there. Yeah. So you've moved up to Maidstone now. Did you think about getting back into boxing or?
At the time, I didn't realise I thought kids box as kids. And then what happened was they were so good that they went on as adults to professionals. I didn't realise as adults you could box.
Right.
I didn't know what the process was. You know, as a kid at 13, 14, you never really looked into it that much. You just, something you enjoy doing.
And the internet's not there as well. No. It's by bird pigeon or something, isn't it? Like.
So I moved to Maidstone and obviously you're 16, 17. And I was naturally a small kid anyway. So I wasn't huge. So I was like, right, got to go to the gym. Joined the gym. Started weight training. Nobody's telling you how to train. So it was a case of, right, I would do everything in one session. I'll do that.
If I do it, break
the next day like that.
Yeah. And I was thinking, if I do it every day, I'll do it 3 times a week, I'll be fine and I'll get bigger. And I was like, and someone, it was probably a good year or so later before someone said to me, no, you're overtraining. You're not growing at all. Once he explained to me what I was actually doing, I was like, that's a kind of year and a half wasted, isn't it? Like that. And but then what made me stop the weight training was when you're boxing, your natural reflexes are completely different. They are very much instinctive. And I still remember it in my bedroom, putting up a shelf, and there was a screwdriver that I put on the top rung of the ladder. And it was near the end, and it started to roll off. And I've gone to myself, that's going to roll off in a second. It rolled off. Grab it. As it's falling off, I'm going, grab it. Then I'm watching it now, grab it. And I'm watching it hit the floor, and my hands are now moving to where the screwdriver was. Right, and I thought to myself, reflexes are completely slowed down. It was like, and I was like, right, that was it. And I stopped the weight training. Then I started looking around for clubs, and I found a local martial arts club in Maidstone. It was in the a gym again. It was like everybody shared their facilities at that time. Nothing was designated as what you'd call a specific martial arts place. It was just a case of a club operating within a room, because the venue would generate a little bit of extra income. So I started doing Chinese martial arts at that time, and I was like, oh, this is good. Started doing it. I was enjoying it. I probably did that for... I started it when I was 19. So at the time, these are places that operated once a week. And I was like, well, this is not enough. Right, what else can I do? So I then found a different club, and I thought to myself, I know what I do. There was a Taekwondo club. So I joined that as well. And it worked out on some days I could do one class, run, and start my second class. Right? And so I did that, and I did that for a bit. Then there was a Thai boxing club opened up as well. So then it worked out that I could do 3 sessions a week.
Are you working at this time?
Yeah, working.
Oh, okay.
Working, but I lived, as I said, I went back to my parents. I moved out again, because obviously once you moved out as a kid, you move back home and you go, I can't do that. Move straight back out again. And so I then sort of like, I thought myself, I didn't have nothing to do other than go to work, train. So I started doing the Thai boxing as well, and the Thai boxing was, sometimes it'll be straight after another class. So, and I was literally, I was not chit-chatting at the end of the session. I was running to the next session.
Gone.
So I was getting between 4 and 6 sessions in a week. The problem was that some of them were contradicting others.
Yes, yeah. I was going to ask that, because you're not doing, it's not like you're going to 3 clubs but doing the same thing. No, you're doing
different things.
Chinese martial arts, Thai boxing, Taekwondo, which are all very different.
And I sort of like, it wasn't causing me problems. I was going to, for instance, I went to the Taekwondo class, and I really enjoyed it, but I didn't like the bullshit that went with it. And unfortunately, with martial arts, there was an awful lot of bullshit.
Which seems to be quite prevalent now when you speak
nothing's
to people.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, that's something that's obviously quite now.
Nothing's changed. And so at the time, I went to a class in Moat Park, and I went along, and I ended up sparring because I just wanted to spar. Because I looked at the black belts as going, right, you are the best in the room, so therefore I want to spar you. Bearing in mind, I've been training 1.5 years at this point, and I was sparring. I wanted to spar the black belts, and they were, martial arts is very much ego.
That's what Ray was talking about.
Yeah. Damon said about it as well.
Very, very ego. If you're a black belt, you are high, they're put on a pedestal. And I said, well, okay, I just want to spar. And I thought to myself, you know, I've come from a boxing background, I just want to spar. And they don't like sparring people that are below their belt grading.
Just in case they get embarrassed.
Possible. But it also means that it makes them, it kind of puts them on a pedestal, and it's very false pedestal. So I ended up sparring some lads there. They were, some of them were on the British team, and I put a couple of them.
What was this, Taekwondo?
Taekwondo, yeah, yeah. And I put a couple of them on their backside. I came along the following week, and the instructor at the time, she's a woman, she said, right, take the class to one side, like the black belts all go together, and you can take Luke with you. And they're looking at me, bearing in mind I'm wearing a pair of black tracky bottoms and a t-shirt, and they're looking and going, what are you on about? Right, you know, what's he doing with us? We're special.
We're special.
You know, and so, and she was really nice. Her name was Debbie Wynn at the time. Very, very nice woman. She operated out of Ashford and Maidstone. And so they sort of like, they put me to one side, and I remember sparring, and I remember kicking the black belt across the floor. Okay. And she's just looked over him and go, like I said, don't treat him like a beginner, which was quite funny, really, you know, because he's on the floor doubled up in pain. And then sort of like I moved around with them for a few guys for a period of time. Club was huge when it first started. Then it got smaller and smaller because people drop out. Then you go to a different venue. I did that for probably a year and a half, 2 years.
Just all the different ones?
All the different ones. I did the Thai boxing. The Thai boxing was, again, this is in the days where you could go into a youth club. And I remember the youth club was in Maidstone called the Howdy Walden Youth Club. Remember it really clearly. Went in there, sparring. The first time I went there, and I met a very good friend of mine, and you'll hear his name come up, Mr. Wilcox Steve.
Okay.
Right. And the instructor said, oh, I said, I want to go along. He said, all right, okay. And I said, well, I've been doing X, Y, and Z, and I fancy giving this a go. He said, all right. And he said to me, do you fancy doing a bit of sparring? And I was like,
I can imagine that, right. grin yeah, that you have. Grin. Like, yeah.
All right, guys. So he's gone, all right. And he's looking around, and he's pulled Steve up. Now,
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Steve's literally what I would call... I have to be careful how I word this because we're very good friends. He's a little bit shorter than me, and he's taken off his top and he's ripped. And I mean, there's no fat on him. And I'm like, right, so I've gone from having a little bit of a spar and you've picked up the best lad in the class. Right? And I remember sort of like, if you do taekwondo, it's very much a nice gentle kick to the face. Very controlled, looks good.
Yeah.
I've done this to Steve, and Steve's gone, right then, that's how you want to do it, do you? And what I didn't know was his mates had sat, whilst he was sitting down, his mates have gone to him, I think he does martial arts and he's quite good. Which obviously fuels the fire for the next person. So we stood up and I've literally kicked Steve in the face, right? And I could see Steve going, right then, you've embarrassed me in front of everyone in this room. He's then proceeded to kick my thigh, right, which I'd never done before, right, and he's literally kicked it about four times. I'm now limping. What the hell is going on? Like this, and I'm trying to cover up, trying to box, and he's just trying to kick the crap out of my legs. And so like we shook hands, and I was like, yeah, great. I couldn't walk for 3 days.
Like a baseball bat today, yeah.
Yeah, like a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And literally, I couldn't walk for 3 days. And then I was like, right, I'm going back to that again. So I started doing that. Same thing again. It was one of those, the discipline in the classroom environment where you are what you'd call, you're doing tit for tat. So you put the focus mitt on your thigh, okay, and you basically go, right, I kick yours, you'll kick mine. And you're holding the pad turned over on your thigh. When your leg goes dead, change legs. And you do that for...
You start at like 20%, you? And then you gradually go, oh, he's taking a bit of the piss there. Yeah, so then you go up and then you gradually...
That's it. And you keep doing it. And as soon as your leg's dead, change legs. And you do that for 10, 15 minutes. And bear in mind, by now, you can't necessarily walk and you go, what the hell is the point of doing this? It's all conditioning. All conditioning. And we did that. Look, same thing again. Started to get right into that. Started to... enjoy it, started to do the fights.
Did you find when you're training the iron sharpens iron mantra come in with this? Because if you, as you were talking about getting up to this point, you're kicking black belts down, then you've gone with someone that has actually kicked you and you're like, yeah, that's what I wanted. So you've
has, because you put it back into context. So yeah. What's happened is I've got someone, so Steve at the time didn't have a belt as any such, and it's, and I'll give you an analogy of it later, but I've got someone in front of me who has probably been doing it a year.
Yeah.
And I've got a black belt in another environment who thinks he's amazing, right? And I've got this lad, he's absolutely smashed my leg to pieces. And it made me go, right, okay, this is what I want. And it very similar to boxing, it's a case of it's not for show. This is what we're going to actually do. And I liked it. I like the contact side of it, and I like the discipline side of it, because if you, there was no sort of like what I would call, it's not pretty. It's very, very direct. And I love that side of it. So a game that started doing it, and it caused me a few problems, because the people that were, obviously I'll go back to the Taekwondo class, and then I'd start to, I'd do these kicks and I'm putting in a different level of power compared to what they're used to, and they didn't like it. And then it caused me issues with the club, because the black belts, I would say, look, and my boxing was still fine, and say, look, I don't mind helping out some of these people in the classroom, because the one thing I find with people that do martial arts, it's people that are frightened of getting hit. And they always generally fall into that category.
Yeah.
They don't like getting hit. They want to learn a form of self-defense. Okay, so they take up whatever martial art they do, but then they avoid getting hit. And I can never understand it. I can never understand it.
Any form of conflict, you're going
to
get hit.
You're going to get hit. So, and then I had said to like the Taekwondo club at the time, and by now a black belt had been taking it over. I'm very good at what he did, and he was being quite crafty. If I was in the room, there was no sparring. If I missed a session, there'd be sparring that night.
One person just changing the whole mentor of a club.
He was literally manipulating the class. And I turned around and said, why don't, can we do some sparring tonight? Because you did it the other night. And he was like, no, we're not doing it tonight. We're going to do forms, katas or patterns, they call it, up and down the room. I was like, right, okay. And it was just driving me mad. So I loved the Thai boxing. And Thai boxing is very direct. At that time, it was very simple. You know, somebody showed me something and I could apply it and I could see if it worked. Whereas marching up and down the room, and for people that are telling me how good they are because they've got belts above my level, and I just found it so frustrating. So I sort of like, I did that for a period of time. I was doing the Chinese martial arts, and I do things without necessarily, I wouldn't say thinking about it, I tend to do it and go, fuck it, I don't care, I'm doing it. So I was entering competitions at that time without telling the club, because I couldn't, I wanted to fight.
Yeah.
So I entered, they're called semi-contact competitions.
So normally body, no headshots and stuff. Different rules for different
rules for different things. And what happened was I went to a open tournament in Swindon, I think it was, and there was two tournaments running, a semi-contact and a knockdown tournament. Knockdown is Kokushinkai rules, right, which is probably the hardest style of karate.
Okay.
Right, which is full contact shots to the body, bare fist.
Right.
Full contact shots to the legs, using your own legs, okay, and kicking to the head. No head guards. Okay, so if you're punching, you're punching below the neckline to the body. And it is, you know,
it's weird.
It is weird and it's very severe, right? But I'd never, and what happened, I hadn't been training in it, I just entered the competition because I was doing the semi contact stuff. And I got talking to the lads, and he said, I won my first match. And he said, oh, you should enter the knockdown one as well. I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, these are the rules. I hadn't trained in it. And I said, what do you have to do then? He said, I'll just put your name down on the sheet. He said, we're missing a couple of guys because people have dropped out, so we need to make the numbers up anyway. And I was like, yeah, all right, then I'll put my name down. So I put my name down for that. So I'm entering a semi-contact tournament and a full-contact tournament. My full-contact fight lasted 2 seconds. The guy hit me in the ribs. I smashed him square in the face. He got a bloody nose, right? Got into trouble for it. You know, I've got refs blowing whistles and everything. I said, sorry. It was just instinctive to suddenly, you know, you go from boxing background where you're making headshots to suddenly told you've got to punch below the head.
It's hard, line.
I just couldn't do it. And I just, he punched me in the body. I just smacked him square in the face. And he just, you know, nose clatter everywhere. And I was like, oh, for fuck's So I stopped and they were trying to get me thrown out of the semi-contact competition. And I said, look, so I've never ever entered it. And basically, most people are there as part of a club. I was there with my missus and her friend as support. You know, I just turned up. You know, I just entered it on, not online. It was a case of you had to do a postal register. Yeah. And so I did really well in the semi-contact, got to the finals, and I got beaten by a lad who's better than me. Not a problem. But I'd only been training a year and a half, 2 years, and these guys were...
So you're still only 20 at this point?
Roughly. I'm probably 20, yeah, coming nearly 21.
Yeah.
So, and then I was doing that, then I was doing the Thai boxing as well. And the Thai boxing was a nightmare because now there are clubs everywhere. And, you know, I really enjoy watching, you know, there's clubs. You can go on the internet, technology, and if you want to find a Thai boxing club, you can probably find several.
Yeah.
And you can travel around and have a meet up and meet people and train and swap techniques and spar and test your own ability, have competitions. At those times, there was one club in Maidstone at the time. And to get a fight, we was travelling up to Manchester.
Cool, bloody hell.
Jesus.
That was local.
That was local.
We was going up to Manchester to fight. And
I've seen that with MMA gyms. Recently, I'd have said the like for me, for my, you know, where you're talking about, because you're talking about the 80s at this point, aren't you? So I'll give you like a similar. When I was 16-ish, I went to Gravesend to do MMA, even though I only done it for like a couple of lessons. And then now I can type in MMA gyms, obviously, and then there's loads.
Yeah, that's it. So, but that's why there was nowhere. So. I was getting fights, and so I was doing the Thai boxing and was travelling up to Manchester, and I remember sitting in a minibus for 6 hours, turn up in a minibus, and the guys would go, are you from Kent? Yeah, we are. Right, you're on in about 10 minutes. No, we're not. We've just got here. And, you know, we're all falling out of a van. Legs are cramping up. We've been sitting still for ages, and you've got to warm up, and they'd give us half hour, 40 minutes, and you'd be fine. Drive back again. You know,
sounds like some Plymouth stuff that we did. So.
Right, so yeah, so I did that for a while. Same thing again. I had a few fights, loved it. I was still doing the sort of like the Taekwondo. I left the Taekwondo purely because they hadn't changed. Their mentality hadn't changed. You know, I turned around and said to the coach, "Look, I'm quite happy to help with the boxing stuff." But he looked at it being, I can't have someone who's just a student helping people.
It's arrogant, though, isn't it? I think it's so arrogant, isn't it?
You know, because don't get wrong, as a black belt, he knew he'd never ever spar me in 100 years because he knows what I'd do, right? And it would make him look bad. And bearing in mind, he's earning a little bit of money out of this.
Yeah.
You know, and there was women in there. And it was a case of, never a case of sparring against a woman and saying, oh, I'm going to hit you. It was a case of, no, keep your hands up. This is what you're doing wrong. Pointing all the things out just to make them better.
Mm.
And it was just ego. Just didn't want to be made to look bad. And so I left and I thought, well, I'll give up with that. Then the Chinese club, the Chinese martial arts I was doing at the time, it was a case of the guy was very hit and miss with his training. It wasn't regular enough for me. So I was doing more with the Thai boxing and the Taekwondo. But then it was a case of I was getting to a point where I thought to myself, I've been doing it nearly 3 years at this point. And I thought, I'm not really going anywhere with it. And the reason I thought I started to look around, and I'd heard a couple of people say that there is a club, but it's at the back of in the town centre. And this is a bit rough and ready, but it's a good club. And so the guy, and what it, the reason I went down that route was, I thought to myself, what am I going to be like if I end up being an instructor one day and I get somebody with my mentality walk into the room? And I thought to myself, how am I going to deal with somebody with my mentality but with a good skill set? And I thought to myself, well, okay. So But there was a gentleman I got introduced to. They gave me his name. His name was Chris Linstead. Went along to his class and he said, right, okay. We had a quick chat and he said, right, you're going to have a little bit of a spar. And I thought, this is good. I've only been here 15 minutes and already we're talking about a sparring. And I thought, right. And he said, right, there are certain rules. And he said, you're going to have to trust the person in front of you. And he said, it will feel very weird what you're doing, okay, and it won't make sense. And I was like, right. And he said, if I tell you to stop, stop. If you don't stop, he's going to hit you the second time. And I was like, right, this is different. And I said, right. And I started to go to my bag to put my gloves on. He said, no, you don't need those. We don't wear gloves. I was like, right. And they put this young lad, Nigel, in front of me. And I remember his name. He was a hairdresser. Really, really nice guy. Right.
Then one hairdresser bit relevant.
Well, that's how I remember people because of their professions. As you get older, you remember you remember their first name and what they do for a living, and other than that, you don't remember their surnames. Yeah, exactly. I remember sort of looking at Nigel and going, I was looking at him, I thought to myself, and I was quite fit, I was strong at the time, and I thought to myself, yeah, it's gonna be easy. This is I'm gonna play. And I just remember trying to kick him in the head, he kicked me in the bollocks. Not directly in the bollocks, but enough for me to go, that was near enough.
Yeah.
And he was like, and the instructor said, you all right? I said, yeah, didn't expect that. He said, all right. So I thought, I'll kick faster then. Kick me straight in the bollocks again. Right, and I thought, well, this isn't working. And sort of like, and bearing in mind, I got my fist clenched, and they do very much what we call open hand. And I've gone sort of like, I've half got the jab and he just literally flicks me straight in the eyes. And I've got, fucking can't see nothing now. And it was completely different. And it was a case of, he said, and he, very honest, he said, why is it you're here? What is it you want to do?
Spa.
And I said, he said, what is it you want? And I said, I just want to be in a position I know that I can take care of myself. But also I want to be in a position where I don't want the bullshit. And he said, what's bullshit? I said, I don't like them marching up and down the room barefoot for hours at a time, shouting stupid noises that don't make any relevance to me in the modern world. I said, I'm not interested. And he went, that's good, because nor am I. And so I started doing that, and it was, again, very interesting. I loved doing it, and I did that for probably 10, 11 years.
Oh, bloody hell.
No competitions. Absolutely no competitions. All you're doing is you're purely working on you as an individual. Very much a case of you're covering so many different things. You're learning balance. You're learning everything. You're learning your own abilities, what you can do. So I have a technical grade and I'm a red sash within what I did.
Okay.
Right. And it was very much a hybrid system. So it's a bit of everything. And he'd say, look, if somebody's good at, say, he'd say, right, okay. And I was encouraged, use your boxing, Luke. And it was very difficult for me because the first few months, nobody wanted to spar me. Because these guys, what they'd used to do is they're quite happy to grab your wrists,
yeah,
grab hold of you, put you in a headlock, try and push you up against the wall. I'd panic and I'd box. So if you can imagine, I wasn't very popular for the first 3 months because I was giving people fat lips, black eyes, and they were being really nice, in all fairness to them. They were going, yeah, cheers, fine. they're being very controlled, and they were sort of like accepting I was new. And, the instructor at the time, he said to me, look, you'll get more if you control what you're doing. He said, it's an important thing that you've got to have. And he said, because, again, it's different from boxing because he's giving you life lessons as well.
Were you interested in competitions at the time, or was it just a matter of fact of, I'm set here?
I was set there, and it was a case of I did that for a long, long time. And this is prior to things like the UFC coming out.
Yeah.
Right. And I was coming to what I would call the tail end of my time with that guy.
How old were you at the time?
I was probably nearly 27, 28.
Right, okay.
And I'd been there for, as I said, 7 or 8 years at the time. And I was sort of like thinking, right, okay. And I was very good at what I did. I could throw my legs around like an absolute lunatic, and I was very, very good. And then I was going, okay, one more. And then I was sort of like, okay. And I was looking through the, I think it was the Kent Messenger.
I was going to say Yellow Pages.
Yellow Pages. It was a Maidstone free paper or something. And there was I'd seen a bit of the UFC on TV and I was like, God, that looks good. So I started looking into that a little bit and I was going, oh, I enjoy this. And someone gave me a video. I had a good friend, Dick and Lyons, and he gave me a video and he was a Wing Chun practitioner at the time. And he said, have a look at that. I was like, fucking hell, where'd you get this from?
Old school
number one.
Coyce Gracie.
Yeah. Right. And I was like, fucking hell, this was amazing. And I thought I wanted to do it. And at the time I started to teach as well. So I had a room converted in the cellar of my house and I had about 6 or 7 students and I was teaching them stuff that I'd done. And then I'd started to add. So I've started to see this grappling stuff on the TV. I said, I'm trying to figure it out. I haven't found anyone that teaches it. So I'm literally watching it off of a video. Pause, rewind, pause, rewind. You know, and I can't figure out what they're doing because it's so intricate. And then what I did was I was looking through the Kent Messenger at the time, and there was jiu-jitsu. And I was like, and it was Lee Johnston.
Yes, yeah.
And so I sort of like, I phoned him up, and he's another guy you have to get on here as well, right? So I phoned him up, and I said, look, I'm looking to learn this. And he said, well, I've got to find a room for us to... And I was looking to him as an instructor. But, and I'll be totally honest, and I've always said this to people as well, I thought myself, right, okay, I reckon I'll be able to pick this up in about 6 or 7 months and I'll be able to overtake him and I'll be fine. And I'll be flying. Didn't have a clue, right? And I said to Lee, look, I've actually got a matted area in my house, in my cellar that I've converted, where we can train. And he was like, really? And I said, yeah. So he come round to my house, and for the next hour and a half, I was tapping out using everything from my little finger to my ear, right, to anything I could have. He was literally tying me up in knots, and I was so shocked. You know, if you come from a stand-up background and then you go to the floor with someone, it is literally like chucking someone into water and go, right, now swim.
I remember when we do some jiu-jitsu years and years ago, and it's one of the things I remember. And you said, I remember you going, this is just, you're not even touching the tip of the iceberg. And then you told me what Lee Johnston did when he come round.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you see, literally was like, yep, tapped out every time.
Every single time. I never tapped him out once, ever. Right. And I was absolutely blown away by his skill set. But also such a nice guy. And the one thing I've always found with people that have done martial arts, very, very humble.
Yes.
Okay. The ones that are good. And it was a case of I started training with Lee probably regular. I was training with him once, twice a week. And then what I was doing is whatever he showed me, I would then show my students so then they could then apply it back on me. So it was reaffirming it again. It was getting better and better in my own head.
And this was his Combat Academy?
Combat Academy. This is prior to Combat Academy.
Okay, this is prior.
So this is when Lee Page was on it. We used to sort of like all get together and they were at the YMCA 1 week. Then they'd lost that. It was at a leisure centre. Then they'd go... It was in a room somewhere. We'd literally end up using a room in, I remember at Larkfield Leisure Centre, we was in a room one day and it was a case of there was tables and chairs in there. We're moving the tables and chairs out of the way, put some mats on the floor. Wherever Lee could find, he would find somewhere for us to train. So, and I was doing that and I was enjoying it. I was loving it. It was really, really good. So complex and interesting. Very, very different to what I've done. And I was really, and I was sort of, as I said, it was a case of that balance between enjoying what I was doing and carrying on with it whilst doing the other things as well. And then Lee went to Strood Sports Centre.
Yeah.
He had a club there at Strood. So I started to go there and it was the same thing again. I started to go there and I was training with him up there as well. And it, again, the club was growing and growing and growing. And then it was a case of, for me, I was sort of like flitting between work. So I wasn't training as much as what I would like. Then I'll sort of like, I turn up and I'll be regular for, say, 6 months. Then I drop off to, say...
You're doing security at this time.
I'm doing security work as well. I went through a phase of when I was... I still do it now. I probably at one phase in my life, I was probably had four jobs. Right? So I worked. But again, this will be very relevant to people that I've met over my life that do martial arts and boxing.
Mm.
Right? So I was doing the MMA with Lee, and I was training with him, and at that time he predominantly did the wrestling side of things, and it was fantastic. It was what a fitness, and if you've never rolled around on the floor with somebody, you know, I remember first telling people what you do, and they go, looks a bit gay, doesn't it? I go, yeah, it does look a bit gay. You know, because guys have got this thing about, because you literally, I said, trust me, when someone's trying to choke the life out of you, there's nothing gay about it.
It's changing now, though. The concept over the last couple of years, obviously, the UFC is a big thing of it.
Yeah, it is.
The concept of
fans are becoming a lot more knowledgeable, and they're understanding what they're doing, and they're going along and learning a little bit themselves to appreciate what the art is itself. But at that time, it was a case of a bit weird. You know, so, but again, it, you know, there'd be a group of us there, and we're all training, we're all sort of like, we're just enjoying what we did. Then over a period of time, Lee went from the Strew, he started to do shows, and I started to enter shows. But then at the same time, I, again, as I said earlier, I tend to just jump in with both feet. So I would find competitions that were running, and I would go along, I'd put my name down for it. And I would go, I would just turn up. I wouldn't necessarily have what you would call an entourage of people with me, like other fighters that are turning up. It'd just be me.
Just low key.
It'd just be me. And I'd turn up and there'd be an open tournament. And I remember travelling to Wales. You know, just to enter an open tournament.
What was the open tournament in?
MMA.
Oh, MMA. Oh, is this... Right, so... is it... In the cage, or is it...
No, not in a cage, on a matted area,
right, okay.
With rules. So at the time, it was a case of they'd say to me, you'd get there and they go, right, no head strikes. Oh, right, okay. Right, punches to the body, knees to the body, and grappling. So I'd enter those. And I did all right. I'd enter two of those, and I probably had three or four fights in each tournament, and probably one... Sort of like three or four, then it stopped and you wouldn't go any further forward.
What about Lee, the ones that Lee put on? Were they?
The ones that Lee put on there was, let's see, I did two at Circus Tavern.
Cage or?
Cage.
Okay.
Was it Cage?
Because I remember you showing me a photo of you.
One was ring.
That was my first ring.
I know one was ring. So I see how tiny you was there.
Yeah. The first one was in a ring. The second one was in a cage, and the third one was in a cage. Right, so the first one was in a ring, so that was 3 5-minute rounds, and I went full 3 fives, you know. And if I don't think people appreciate the fitness levels.
Right, again, like, and Damon's had me on this as well, right? So I agree with that, right, because... I've never done 5-minute rounds in my life. Obviously, 3 minutes is the max that I've done boxing or even just like any type of 3 minutes is the max. I'm now doing 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
And I am like, oh, my God, the work level. So you work like I'm used to two minutes. I've worked for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Now I've got 3 minutes of where I'm like, fuck. And my body's just like not giving me no energy to carry it on. So I 100% agree. If people try 5-minute rounds, if you do this, even boxing, box for 5-minute rounds and have a like.
My first fight went full. I lost on a split decision to a young lad. And again, it was full three 5-minute rounds.
Also, you can change the way that you fight. During a round,
you can do, because if you're tired and you don't want to go up the floor, you stand up, get a breather. But that time, you know, this is when, from my point of view, I go, you're just going with it. And it's, you know, you're just trying to finish the fight. And it sometimes, you know, you'd be on, I remember in the fight, I can hear instructions being shouted out, turn over, roll to your left, and you've got an ankle lock on. but you can't hear anything because there's not enough oxygen going into your brain now, right? So all your oxygen is being used up by your body. So whatever's left over is going up to the brain. Yeah. And now what you find is just a simple thing has become quite complicated. So again, 3 5-minute rounds, I was like, fucking hell. I was knackered, you know, but I lost on a split decision. Second fight, I can't remember where it was. It happened a few weeks after the Tito Ortiz and Lee Murray
incident.
So okay. That's how I related the time frame. Because I remember when we was travelling up there, I remember the lads were talking about it.
Yeah.
And then...
Because Lee Page, I didn't realise this, because obviously as we spoke about Lee Murray, he's quite close to Lee Murray. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I've turned around and said he's a nutcase. And he's like, hold up. No, he's not. He's actually quite a nice guy.
He is. And the reason I say that is when I was training, I was grappling with Lee Murray and Dexter on a regular basis.
Right, okay.
At the Strood Sports Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, regular for about 8 weeks. Really, really nice guy. And the thing was, it was weird, really, because when I had my last fight, people were going, oh, Lee's up here. I was going, Lee who? And this is like Lee Page is going to me, Lee Murray. And I'm going, who's Lee Murray? Right, this. And Lee Johnson's looking at me and it's going, are you fucking stupid? He said, you were grappling with him. Was I? I couldn't put the name to the person. And they're literally going, no, Lee's this, Lee's that, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he knocked out fucking two or two.
Yeah. Like,
did he? And I trained with him, did I? And they're looking at me going, you fucking donker like this. then Lee comes over, got a suit on, and obviously Lee Page and Lee Johnson start talking to him. Do you remember Lee? Hello, mate, how are you? And I'm looking at him again, because this is like he was bald headed at the time, so I didn't recognise him. He's coming, he's all suited, right? And he did look like he looked the part.
Yeah.
And I was like, hello, mate, how are you? I thought myself, and it dawned on me, yes, I do totally remember you, but I couldn't put the two people together, which will become relevant. I've done that a few times. And again, Lee, from my point of view, same as what Lee Page just said, gentlemen, you know.
Yeah,
Literally, we trained on the mats, and, you know, I tacked him out a few times, he tacked me out regular, and it was no striking, just pure grappling, constant.
Which is quite mad because, or quite nice to see as well. I know, obviously, there's his other side of his life had probably issues, but it is what it is. And I know, especially as a person that is on the outside, pre-perceived perception of him.
Yeah.
And the stuff with the TLT, the stuff that he used to do with he used to be a showman. And then.
Listen, I found this through my whole life. People make choices.
Mm.
Make choices. And, you know, you guys have been around long enough yourselves. You've met people yourselves. I've met people. I had a pub on Rochester High Street. And you can
we'll
imagine.
We'll come to that. Don't worry.
The people that you meet. People make choices, and I've always said to people, look, they're your choices, you live with them, you know. And that's how I look at it and go, you know, if right or wrong, they're the choices that you make, you know. And people have to fundamentally stand by the decisions that they make. And if they end up in the shit that they're in, it was their choice. No one put a gun to their head and sort of like made them do it. You know, so you have to live by it. And when we've all done it to some degree, we've all made choices. God, fucking, I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah.
And that's life. That is life.
So your last fight, what year was that then?
I was probably coming up to 32. I was 32. My last fight, I've been training groundwork and I ended up getting put in with a striker. So bearing in mind, I'd done loads of striking before. The striking went out the window. I remember literally getting knocked out in the second round, I think it was. And in the first round, I was in a position where I could have finished. But I'm telling myself to do things and I'm not doing it. You know, and if you've been there, you'll know what it's like. It's a case of... It is frustrating. And it's just one of those things. You're in a good position, top mount position, in a position, I'm start raining elbows down, hammer fists down and everything else. And you go, right, I can end this fight. And that's afterwards. Yeah, you could have done. But at that point in time, nothing's registering. Yeah. Whether it be a lack of oxygen, whether it be that you haven't done enough training. At that time, it was very difficult. You know, I love places like Damon Lake's got now, Lee Johnson's got, where you can have three or four disciplines under one roof and you can train 5 days a week.
Yeah.
At that time, you'd have to travel around.
Yeah.
You'd have to literally find someone to train with.
That's where I think it's evolved. And
it has evolved.
Because that would have been, what, early 2000s?
Early 2002, that would have been the last fight I had. So 2002, I remember chatting to the lad that I fought afterwards. And, I, you know, like you do, you always end up chatting afterwards, regardless. And I'm sitting there with a, I had a peach of a shiner that night as well. My eye closed up. And, he, you know, a young lad said, sorry about that. He said, that was a good hit. And I said, yes. I said, I don't remember it, but I'll take your word for it. And I said, I've got to ask you. I said, what does it do? He said, oh, I don't do anything. What do you mean? I said, it must work, though. And he said, no, no, I live at home with mum and dad.
Right, makes sense.
Right, and he's 21, lives at home with mum and dad. I said, what do you do then? I just go training all day, every day. And I was like, all right, I'm 32, I'm working 4 jobs.
Yeah, maybe not anymore.
So it was one of those ones, you know, be very realistic, and it was just a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I've always been very honest with myself and go, is this something I'm going to be a world champion at? No. And I always look at, do you remember the Friends series? Some people, there was a scene on there that, going off tangent, do you remember the guy that plays Happy in Iron Man?
Yeah.
John Favreau.
Yeah.
He was in Friends, and there's an episode in that where he gets it into his head, I'm going to be the ultimate fighting champion.
Right, okay.
And he gets mangled.
I think
really badly.
I think,
and it's quite a funny sort of sketch, but I was always very honest with myself and gone, I know what my ability is, and I know that this is just a hobby. I'd go, regardless of how much I train, and I go, I haven't got that much ability where I'm going to be at this point. On what I do because I enjoy doing it. And it was as simple as that. I enjoy doing it, and you can say to a degree, I was good at doing what I did, and that's it. I never had any sort of like what I would call illusions of grandeur and sort of like I said, I'm going to be amazing at this. And it was never like that for me. So,
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.